Blog Talk Radio.
And a very good Wednesday to you again. It's another Waiver Wednesday here at FootballDiehards.com. My name is Skip Lacombe, and joining me once again for the Waiver Wire Report is Mike Jones. Mike, how you doing today?
Skip, what's a good word? We're ready to get after it. All the buys are gone, so now we don't have to really worry about filling anything in from a week-to-week basis. Start planning for your playoffs, and let's see if we can find some late-emerging players who are flying under the radar right now.
Exactly. The season's finally starting to come down towards playoff time, and we are out of the bye week rotation. However, we do need to start worrying about players who are reaching their capacity in terms of their ability to play throughout the entire year. But let's get right to the waiver wire and start off with the quarterbacks. What are you seeing out there this week, Mike?
Not a lot, as usual. hopefully, like we've talked about before, your bye weeks are past. You should have your stud quarterback ready to go. And unless, you were starting Jamarcus Russell every week or, Derek Anderson, probably not a whole lot of change going on in the NFL right now at the quarterback position. One player that has kind of emerged a bit here in the last couple weeks has been Mark Bulger. He's starting to play a little bit better. The St. Louis Rams offense is starting to come together a little bit. Team's starting to come together a little bit. A couple teams are like that looked pretty lost and are starting to actually play some decent football. Tampa Bay, another team like that with Josh Freeman. But Bulger, coming off a week where he threw for 298 yards, two touchdowns, and he'll be facing an Arizona defense that is susceptible to the pass. They can definitely be hit up, and so a nice emerging weapon for St. Louis and Brandon Gibson, who they brought over in the Will Witherspoon trade. And Gibson familiar with the system after performing in the same system in Philadelphia as the offensive coordinator runs in St. Louis. And he's opposite Donnie Avery. Donnie Avery coming off a two-touchdown game. Even Daniel Fell, the tight end, is starting to play some good football. Hopefully that team, in St. Louis is starting to come together a little bit. Obviously, every team is keying on Steven Jackson, and so that opens it up on the outside quite a bit. And they've got some, maybe some young, talented guys that can finally step in there and get the job done. So Bulger is a name out there that is on the radar, and he'll also be facing San Francisco coming down the stretch here. And San Francisco is a team that's allowing quite a bit of passing yards a game, especially on the road where they'll be playing them in St. Louis.
So we're also entering the point in the year where we might want to start looking at some of the backup quarterbacks of some of the teams that are doing really well with good offenses, because if they lock in a place in the playoffs, they may be able to just go ahead and sit their main starter. May not be a bad idea to take one of these backups and stash them on your bench as well, correct?
Yeah, I know we've been talking about that all year long, and the main thing there is, that we found out last year with Tom Brady, doesn't matter who the quarterback is, they are one, low hit from the side away from being out for an extended period of time. And these teams that have these really high octane offenses, you might as well have a guy who at least he doesn't work in every situation, but I think there are some quarterbacks out there that you can target who probably would be able to step in and run and execute the offense. The two names that really kind of jump out are Mark Brunell in New Orleans and Billy Bullock in San Diego, both veteran signal callers who, when called upon, have been able to produce. And then Brian Hoyer, we've talked about him all year in New England, who could come in and possibly play like a Matt Cass role if he had to. But the famous name is always every year seems to be Jim Sorgi with Indianapolis. The Colts usually seem to have it wrapped up week 16 and 17, and in every fantasy championship is left up to Jim Sorgi to win it. And it'll be interesting to see what happens this year, though. If Indianapolis stays unbeaten, they're going to be coming down the stretch and with kind of something more than just the playoffs kind of on the line. And whether they keep Peyton Manning pushing it hard all the way to the end of the season. And, I got to think as it is, they're definitely going to be playing, trying to, make sure they have home field advantage to the end. But, you know, if you're a Peyton Manning owner, why not pick up Jim Sorgi now and avoid the season-ending rust?
Especially too, if you've got the roster space, if you had somebody riding on the bench for most of the season who hasn't gotten a start, you know you're not going to start. Might as well put someone in there who may be able to get some points towards the end of the season.
Exactly.
Moving on now to the – go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, especially with the bye, it's all gone. So you don't really need to make – you know, have that extra spot possibly.
Absolutely. Moving on now to the running backs. Once again, like we said, all the bye weeks are over, so your main stars will be able to continue to play. But who's out there if you're looking for a little bit of depth, Mike?
Well, I thought it was kind of funny. You know, we had a conversation last week about Larry Johnson, and you asked me, well, where is he going to land? And, you know, I said, well, you know, no right-minded general manager, you know, is going to want to sign such a distraction as Larry Johnson. And it reminds me, it's funny because it reminds me back when we had the NFL draft talk this past year. And, you know, there was all the problems with Andre Smith, the you know, star tackle out of Alabama. He left the combine early, and he ran his 40, and he looked like an overweight stripper running down the track, you know, just flapping everywhere. And you know, me and Joe Hebert just went back and forth and going after. I just, you know, there was just in my mind there was no management team in their right mind that was put their neck on the line for this guy. He's shown no commitment to the process at all. So, relating that story, then when I saw the Cincinnati sign Larry Johnson, I thought, oh my God, of course, there's always the Bengals. The Bengals will sign anybody. They don't, you know, they don't care so much about the character or the issues or the chemistry or anything. And it, you know, God bless them. So far, you know, it's all kind of fell together for them this year, and it's actually worked. And maybe they're becoming the Oakland Raiders of Ohio or something. But you know, it's working for them right now. And let's see how it continues to work for them now that they're not going to be catching anybody so much by surprise. But I thought that was a very, you know, really interesting about Larry Johnson signing with Cincinnati. And, you know, we'll see what happens with that situation. And Marvin Lewis, you know, coming out right away and saying that, well, he's going to be our fourth back. And, you know, it's hard to believe that Larry Johnson was going to sign with somebody to be a fourth back. Unless there was some, I don't know. It was some things just weren't quite adding up there. But obviously, so Larry, you know, you said, well, should people drop Larry Johnson? I said, well, you know, don't be crazy, you know, because even though I think he might sign with the UFL, let's find out what happens. And so hopefully you didn't drop Larry Johnson. And so who knows what will happen? We've talked about all season. We touch on in our Touch and Target article, and we've talked about it when we talked about picking up Bernard Scott on the waiver wires throughout the year, that Cedric Benson's workload has been just too much. Quite frankly, he was on pace for 414 touches for the season, and for a guy who hasn't really gone through a full season, NFL season workload, that's just way too much for him. And sure enough, he had a, you know, a 35 touch game, and then the next week against Pittsburgh, you know, he gets hurt, and it's just kind of the nature of the beast is that I was listening to Nick Manigold, just a kind of a quick aside, talk the star, you know, all-pro center for the New York Jets. And he, you know, they were talking to him on a Tuesday, talking about, you know, how he feels and what it's like getting out of bed and stuff. And he related the story that for a running back who gets 25 to 30 touches in a game, if the equivalent of being in a 35-mile-an-hour car accident each week. And so, you know, the body can only withstand so much, you know, even though they're, you know, they have the great miracles of modern science, and I'm sure, you know, every NFL team takes full advantage of that. And these guys are, you know, we've talked about before how these guys are on constant, you know, throughout the rest of their lives. Once they commit to the beast of the NFL, they're going to be spending the rest of their life performing pain management. That the body can only take so much, and that it's caught up to Cedric Benson, and now it looks like this week Bernard Scott makes for a great waiver wire pickup if he's out there. And He'll be going up on the road against Oakland, and Oakland is a very poor run defense, as evidenced last week by Jamaal Charles going for over 100 yards against them. And so if Bernard Scott is on your waiver wire, definitely recommend picking him up. It might be only for a week or two at the most, but makes for a great plug and play, at least for this week. Justin Forsett is also the beneficiary of an injury to Julius Jones. Forsett was, you know, a star at Cal Berkeley, had a really nice game week two against San Francisco. And we thought, well, maybe that was just, you know, kind of a going back home to the Bay Area kind of thing. And sure enough, it was a nice game, but Julius Jones stepped in and took the job back. And now Jones is out, and it looks like it's going to be Forsett's job. Forsett had a nice game, 17 carries, 123 yards, runs very hard, runs very efficiently, a real north and south runner. Kind of reminds me, in a way, of a mixture between a Maurice Jones-Drew and a Chris Johnson, though far not as talented as those players, but, you know, a real north and south runner, but has a little bit of juke to him, a little bit of wiggle, and definitely is willing to stick his nose in the line, doesn't shy away from contact. And unfortunately, for those looking for a plug and play, he's going to Minnesota this week. A Minnesota defense that only allows 78.5 rushing yards a game at home. Very tall order for him, but he does have the speed playing in that dome. Might be able to get loose for one or two plays. Might look for him out of the backfield quite a bit. And the other name that's a big name on the waiver wire, just to wrap up the running backs, is Jason Snelling. Snelling has kind of been in and out of the Atlanta offense. When Jarius Norwood went down, Snelling stepped in, got, you know, high marks from Jim Moore. For Coach Smith there and Mike Smith, and that they said, you know, yeah, is Snelling going to be able to get more playing time earlier? And, you know, Smith said that, yeah, he keeps running as good as this and runs this hard, that Snelling definitely will find a place in our offense. And as it turns out, Michael Turner, finally things catch up with him a little bit, has a high ankle sprain. It looks like he'll be out about 2 weeks, they're hoping probably at the most. And so it's going to be Snelling to step in there, had 18 carries for 61 yards and a score this past week. But he also has a very difficult challenge this week, traveling to face the Giants defense that is ranked number one in average rushing yards allowed at home, 62.7 yards, and in rushing yards allowed per attempt, which is 3 yards per attempt. And for a kind of a plotter like Snelling, probably not the best start you can get. But, you know, in a pinch, if you got to have him, and you had Michael Turner, I know I've got Michael Turner in a dynasty league. I went to go look at my dynasty lineup, and I went, phew, because I did happen to have my handcuff set up with Jason Snelling on the team. So he's starting for me this week, and I'll take whatever points he can give me.
All right, now to move it on to the wide receivers, I want to go ahead and get your quick thoughts on who might be out there to be able to make an impact in this week 11.
Well, like last week, we just got a ton of wide receivers out there, and the big news, obviously, with Dwayne Bowe being suspended for 4 games for performance-enhancing drugs. I don't know where they've been all year, but I guess it was a diuretic or something. You're trying to lose weight in camp, and obviously the Chiefs knew about it, you know, and that thing. It's kind of like we talked about last week, oh, with Mangini saying, oh, we didn't know about the escalators in Brady Quinn's contract. Yeah, and the Chiefs had no idea that Bo was going to be suspended, so that's why they just happened to go out and pick up Chris Chambers and every other 30-year-old wide receiver they could possibly get their hands on. But so in Kansas City, that was sort of a little bit of late-breaking news. Chris Chambers, obviously, is going to be someone that a lot of people look to pick up. A player that we liked last week, Lance Long, is another player that people will be looking at. Unfortunately, everybody who is looking at the Chiefs this week should look away. It could be pretty ugly. The Steelers are coming to town, and needless to say, Steelers may be in a bit of a foul mood after losing the Bengals last week, have interest in taking it out on a woeful Chiefs offense. And so I would avoid all the Chiefs if possible this week. But the player we talked about, we really like, Brandon Gibson, with the St. Louis Rams. They are, you know, again, they're facing Arizona, and should be kind of a shootout there. Gibson was a star. I watched him play in the Pac-10 at Washington State. Real kind of a lithe receiver, good speed, good size, good hands. Caught 7 balls for 93 yards last week in kind of his first action of the season against New Orleans. And so if you're, you know, he's obviously going to be kind of a hot name. And so if you're looking for somebody that you can get in there and plug and play, just kind of like how the Rams need someone who they can plug and play, the Keenan Burton is out for the season with an injury. The Rams have basically lost every single wide receiver that they could at one point or another this season. And so it looks like for now, cross their fingers that they'll be set with Avery and Gibson going forward. And the other guy who had a huge week this past week, Jason Avant for Philadelphia. And, you know, we've talked about this before also about kind of being where, I think we even talked about it week two when Jason Avant went off, that, the Philadelphia wide receivers are kind of notorious for having big games and then just disappearing for a month or two at a time. And Jason Avant did that almost right on schedule. He had a big game week two where he had 7 catches or 79 yards against New Orleans. And then exactly 2 months later to the day, 8 catches for 156 yards for San Diego. So if you're in a playoff league, you want to make sure you pick up Jason Avant because he's going to go off week one of the playoffs. But up until then, it's kind of a hit and miss. If you're a big Eagle fan, who knows? They do play the Bears this week. Donovan McNabb going back home to his hometown in Chicago. I'm sure will want to put on a show facing a fairly susceptible Bears defense. And so there's a lot to like about the Eagles skill position players. And if you need a player as a third wide receiver, Jason Avant definitely has some potential there.
But bottom line right now on both sides with running backs and wide receivers based off of matchups and just wear and tear and the fact that there's no more buys, there's talent out there.
Talent is emerging. There's no doubt about it. And, you talk about wear and tear, and that's an excellent point. One other player that we probably should be very aware of and when we're examining wear and tear is the amount of touches that Chris Johnson for Tennessee has been getting recently. I mean, he's put on a 3-week performance like we've maybe never seen before in the history of the NFL, especially in PPR leagues for fantasy football, averaging 40 points a game. I mean, it's just it's mind-boggling what he's been doing, but he's averaging 29.6 touches per game, which is just way more than a guy who's, basically 5'10", 205 pounds should be getting. I mean, that's just barely – it's just a little bit bigger than Justin Forsett. And, the nice thing about Chris Johnson is, he has the ball. He doesn't get hit very much, He's running past people, but still, that's a very, very alarming number. So if you're one of those people that are looking ahead to the playoffs, we did this earlier when we were looking at kind of Thomas Jones saying, let's go ahead and pick up Sean Green for the playoff run because, Thomas Jones is getting a high workload and he's 31 years old. Chris Johnson obviously doesn't have the age issue, but he has a size and a workload issue that I'm very concerned about. So let's go out and pick up Javon Ringer. Let's put him on, stash him away and find he might be one of those guys who week 15 and week 16 emerge as a real fantasy stud that it seems like it always happens in the fantasy playoffs that some running backs come out of nowhere to lead your team to victory.
Very good. Also, moving on to tight ends, lots of good tight ends out there. Who do you see that has good matchups right now?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, all the tight ends are available. There should be no issues for the most part there. But obviously, the Owen Daniels owners are still, I've talked to a lot of people, and Owen Daniels owners are still, reeling to a great degree. And there could be hope on the horizon if you can go out and pick up James Casey, the rookie out of Rice. Just and the thing that's nice about Casey, who will be, being the starting tight end in Houston. He's 25 years old. He's married. He played some professional baseball. So this isn't a guy, a young kid who's going to be overwhelmed by the situation. He's more of kind of an Austin Collie type of player, a little bit more mature, should be able to step into the position and perform at a good level, at least with a level head right away. Coming out of a system at Rice where, he saw a lot of different formations. He played in a lot of different positions. He was used all over the field and, produced 111 receptions, 12 touchdowns, ran, out of the fullback position and the H-back position for 6 touchdowns, threw 2 touchdowns, and even returned punts. That's what kind of athlete this guy is. And so Gary Kubiak is on the record. He's saying he will become a big part of what we're doing over the next 7 games. So if you are disgruntled and defeated Owen Daniels owner, and you want to have some hope, I highly recommend picking up James Casey in an offense that was the highest targeted offense to the tight end position.
Also, too, we want to be sure to get to the touch and target report, so I want you to run through the place kickers at defense end if you're in an IDP league as well.
Yeah, real quick, the place kicker position, again, is more of a matchup play. It's John Casey playing against Miami. Casey will be at home, but the main play is against Miami as they're allowing a league-high 21 field goals this year. And his counterpart, Dan Carpenter from Miami, is coming off a big week also, where he kicked four field goals in a win against Tampa Bay. So both those kickers should be pretty busy in a game, Carolina versus Miami. Probably not a lot of touchdowns there. Could be a real field goal battle. And, you know, Cleveland, who's Cleveland playing? You know, it used to be who's Oakland playing. That's a good one, too. But right now it's who's Cleveland playing. And, you know, they're playing the Detroit Lions this week. And, you know, there's kind of a toilet bowl kind of joke going on there. But, you know, Detroit will be at home. Heck, they've got to smell blood in the water that this could be a win for them. And, you know, that they want every win they can possibly get. And so Cleveland, you know, is quite possibly one of the most dysfunctional teams I've ever seen, probably since maybe, you know, the Oakland Raiders of maybe a year or so ago. But this really is one of the most dysfunctional teams I've ever seen. We talked about it last week. You were saying, what about Brady Quinn stepping in? And there's just nothing there.
Answer that for us.
Yeah, there's just nothing there for Cleveland to use as a weapon. And I don't see any reason that, you know, Detroit can't continue the Browns' misery going forward. And the big name that I wanted to touch on in IDP leagues, Clint Sessions. I'm sure, you know, if you're in IDP league, it's probably not a huge surprise, but, you know, maybe it is. Clint Sessions, a great linebacker out of Pittsburgh. He's taken over basically for Gary Brackett there in Indianapolis, and he's just becoming a hammer there. I mean, he's just hitting people all over the field. And the nice thing about them, they're facing Baltimore. Baltimore, one of the top running teams in the league, and so Sessions should be having a big game, tackling runners, tackling Todd Heap, and playing sideline to sideline, averaging 9.3 tackles per game in the past three games. Clint Sessions is a great pickup to go get.
Very good, very good. Now, moving on to the touch target report, I want to quickly talk about the running backs. Good matchups this week is Jacksonville versus Buffalo, Cincinnati at Oakland, Detroit versus Cleveland, New Orleans at Tampa Bay, and Arizona at St. Louis. Now, talk about some of the stories inside of here.
Well, we touched on, you know, a few of them, but, you know, the big news that just happened today was Ronnie Brown being put on the IR. And so it looks like, you know, the big news there is no surprise. It's Ricky Williams, who's, you know, going to be 32, 33 years old and going to be the feature back in Miami. And it's going to be a really interesting situation to see how that affects Chad Henne, you know, how that affects Pat White. But the main thing is that after Brown went out last week, Ricky Williams, you know, carried the ball nine times in the final period. He gained 27 yards on the game-winning run, a 27-yard run down to the 7-yard line to set up the Dan Carpenter's deciding field goal with 14 seconds left. And it's going to be the Ricky Williams show in Miami, and I expect them, you know, they know that, you know, Ricky Williams doesn't probably have another year left in him, if that. And so I would have to imagine they are going to just run the hell out of Ricky Williams for the rest of the season. And so hopefully you've got Ricky Williams on your team. If not, he's going to, you know, not a bad thing to maybe go out and make a last-minute trade with him this week against a Carolina defense that is ranked 25th against a run and is going to be dropping because without the services of their star linebacker, Thomas Davis.
Also, too, moving on to the wide receivers, lots of good matchups this week as well. We got Houston versus Tennessee, New Orleans at Tampa Bay, Green Bay versus San Francisco, Minnesota at Seattle, and Pittsburgh at Kansas City. Should be a huge week for some of those wide receivers.
It is, you know, the big injury in the wide receiver position actually wasn't to a wide receiver. It was to a left tackle, and that's Jordan Gross going down for Carolina. And once Gross went out, there. It's going to, you know, affect D'Angelo Williams quite a bit, and D'Angelo Williams kind of nursing a knee injury. But it looks like it's going to possibly help Steve Smith, as they're going to have to, you know, the running game is so intricate. It's so timing-based. And so if you take a key component out of an offensive line like that, you're going to have to do something different. And my feeling is Carolina is going to have to throw the ball more. They're going to have to get the ball into Steve Smith's hands more. And as evidenced by this last week, when Gross went down, they got into the red zone. And instead of where they'd been running the ball in the red zone, they targeted Steve Smith three times, and he responded by catching two touchdowns against Atlanta. So that's another player that if you can get him on the cheap, Steve Smith of Carolina is an excellent pickup right now.
All right, I've got about 4 more minutes to want to talk about the tight ends. Once again, like we said, we have been saying lots of great tight ends out there. The marquee matches we have are Chicago versus Philadelphia, Seattle and Minnesota, and Denver versus San Diego.
Yeah, Chicago and Philadelphia is just a star. two of the worst defenses against a tight end, and you've got two of the best tight ends in the league. Greg Olsen is just as hot as can be right now, and Philadelphia is the worst. Along with Minnesota and Miami, but Philadelphia is definitely one of the worst defenses in the league against the tight end. And so Greg Olsen should have another great game this week. Jay Cutler should get a little bit healthy throwing him the ball. Conversely, Philadelphia is amazing against the wide receivers, as evidenced last week by Vincent Jackson only getting one catch, and he'd been one of the hottest receivers in the game. So should be a huge week for Greg Olsen this week. We've already talked about James Casey, but the funny note about the tight end position is that the Green Bay converted linebacker slash tight end out of UCLA, Spencer Havner, has now more touchdowns this season, 4, than Antonio Gates and Jason Witten combined, who only have 3. So that's the NFL in a nutshell this year, if you ask me.
All right. So want to quickly touch on a couple more of the stories we went into a little bit earlier. First of all, Larry Johnson, how early, if at all, do you think he's going to be able to really make an impact in Cincinnati? I almost said Kansas City.
Well, you know, he's going to have to learn the offense, for what that's worth. I'm sure, for the running back, it's a little bit easier, but there's definitely, he's going to have to learn the plays, what the plays are called, and the blitz pickups, the coverage, the protection schemes and everything. So I would have to imagine that's going to take him at least 2 weeks at least to learn. They're saying that they're going to just use him as an emergency down the stretch kind of guy, and then maybe they'll have two, Larry Johnson and Cedric Benson down the stretch and into the playoffs. Who knows? But and then who knows? Maybe it's a huge smoke screen and they're going to play him this week against Oakland. So I wish I knew exactly, but common sense and just having a sense of how the NFL runs, that it should take him at least a week or two to get acclimated, I would think. But you never know.
Also, too, wanted to ask, LaDainian Tomlinson finally seemed to be able to get things going over this past weekend. Do you think we can continue to see him having good shows, or was that just kind of a fluke good performance out of LT for once?
I think that LT has been good, but just he hasn't been great, and there's been times he's been bad. But I think that more than most times, people's expectations are just too high for him. Just like they were probably too high for Westbrook or any 30-year-old running back. Your expectations just have to be tempered. I mean, very rarely does a Tiki Barber or a Priest Holmes come along and perform in their 30s. But if you look, ahead, he's got great matchups. He's got Kansas City. He's got Cleveland, and Dallas, kind of a tough matchup against Cincinnati, possibly Tennessee. But there's production there that's going to be squeezed out of LaDainian Tomlinson. He's got, the pride and ability has not really been his issues. I think the main issues have been just with the offensive line. The offensive line hasn't really gotten him the cracks that it used to get. And then even the cracks that he is getting, he just doesn't quite have the explosiveness that he used to have. So with that being said, he's definitely, you know, if you have him, you got to play him. What are you going to do? So unless you got better options, I really doubt that you do. You invest a high draft pick in him, and you're going to just have to ride LT all the way to the end.
Right on, right on. Well, that will wrap it up for the waiver report. Be sure to check back on Friday. Me and Bob Harris will run down the final entries. Also, check out the flash update. It is back up and running live. Until Friday, this has been the FootballDiehards.com podcast.